Hi, I'm Vaya Skinner, Coordinator for Campus Communications, and welcome to HCC 360. Are you a student who isn't quite ready to declare a major? At Hartford Community College, there's a program for that, and it's called General Studies. In fact, more students are in the General Studies program than any other at the college. WHFC student volunteer Mohammed Bangoura sat down to talk about the General Studies program with Dr. Tony Wohlers, Dean of Behavioral and Social Sciences, and Elaine Gisriel, a student development specialist. Let's dive in.
Well, Elaine and Tony, thank you for coming. Can you give our listeners a brief background on yourselves? Whoever wants to go first.
I'll go first. Hi, my name is Elaine Gisriel, and I am a student development specialist in advising career and transfer services at Hartford Community College. And I've been with the college for about 12 years, 8 years in advising. And my professional background is actually in counseling psychology. I've worked with in the areas of mental health and addictions counseling, employee assistance programs, and healthcare before coming to HCC, where I started in student life as a wellness and student activity specialist. And then that's where I worked with service learning and leadership before moving to advising, which where I've been ever since, and I love every day.
Thank you, Elaine. So my name is Tony Wohlers. I'm the Dean of the Behavioral Social Sciences here at HCC. And I came to HCC in August 2017, to be precise, August 7, 2017. And it has been a great, great journey so far being here at HCC. My background, I'm a trained political scientist, so that's those are my degrees are all in political science and in history, starting from undergrad up until graduate school. Started in Germany, hence my accent, and then finished my education in the United States, in California, in Illinois, and at some point in Oklahoma.
All right, Elaine, Tony, thank you for the introductions. So we have the advisor and the dean with us. Can you guys tell us a little bit about the General Studies program?
We can try. So I can start, and then Elaine, please fill in at any time. So as far as what is the General Studies program kind of in, right? What is it kind of all about, you know? General Studies program is really a way for students, you know, who want to kind of figure out what they want to do in life, what they want to do in college, right? To explore and discover the courses they're interested in, but also at the same time think about the careers they want to pursue. Right. And as we all know, right, and at that age, I remember when I was that young, I was searching, what classes should I take? What kind of career do I want to pursue? So I had some ideas as far as, yeah, I was like kind of history, I was like kind of the social sciences, the humanities and what have you, right? So I was able to sample from various courses in that area. But I also was very interested in astronomy, things like that, right? You know, and General Studies, they had courses on, you know, Introduction to Astronomy. Hey, right? So it was a great course back in that school when I went there, and that was in California. But it was part of General Studies. So it was a great course that kind of satisfied my hunger, if you will, for exploring the universe. But it also gave me a hands-on experience building a telescope, right? So what I'm trying to say is with the General Studies program, you have so many courses you can sample from, you can try out, you know, and see what fits. What are your passions? You will find that out too. What are your passions, right? And so you find, you will start charting your journey. Really, your journey in your academic life, and you will also start kind of charting your journey as you're thinking about your professional career. At the same time, what general studies also do, and Elaine, I know you will talk a little bit more about this later, it will also provide you all the skill sets that you need to be successful. Not just successful in your academic career, but also later on as far as your professional career. So you get these critical thinking skills, right, that are so important. You get those critical writing skills, presentation skills, but you also get, I would say, social skills. Because if you're thinking about the general studies program as a whole, it also provides you with a way of thinking about society and how you as an individual can contribute to making society better, because general studies gives you kind of this kind of all-encompassing way of thinking about things, different angles. So it is, in a sense, a very versatile way of going about your academic career at the beginning, right, as you're still kind of in the explorative phase.
Yeah, I would agree. Very flexible, very customizable. From a structural standpoint, the general studies program is an associate of arts degree with 60 credits with a 12 credit discipline concentration. So students have to still take 34 credits, all electives in the different general education areas, including physical education, but they have 19 credits available to them to actually, as Dr. Rulers was saying, explore and look a little bit more into different areas of academic and personal interest. As long as they have those 12 credits in the end from that total of 60 in a single discipline or in a pre-approved co-discipline of two related subjects, for example, psychology and sociology, and they have the 2.0 GPA at the end of those 60 credits, they are geared for transfer. It really is very much a transfer degree because you will have all of the general education requirements met at that time. And in a Maryland school, those credits or the requirements for general education will be met and will be taken as a package in transfer at your next school.
Yeah. So that, and Elaine, you basically were referring to the concentration, right, to those 12 credits. And that's something really important because that allows students, you know, if you have a kind of, let's say you have an interest in psychology, right? You think about, yeah, psychology, that sounds really cool. I want to do this in the future, right? Maybe thinking about, yeah, maybe I want to go in the future. I want to go to a four-year institution, get my BA, my master's, what have you, right? So the general studies allows you to kind of concentrate on that field, right? So you would take 12 credits psychology class, right? Like, let's say the introduction to psychology, right? And then some other classes in psychology. So it then gives you a feel of what the discipline is kind of about. And then you can kind of decide, yeah, this is the right thing for me to do. I want to pursue this. But you may also find out, hey, nah, didn't really like this, right? Let me try something else, right? So you have that flexibility in general studies. Again,
but still working towards a bachelor's degree in the long end, if that's what you want to do.
Yeah,
I really like that. So basically, the general studies program is just giving students a way of like a little bit of a taste of everything so they can really make a good decision on what they want to do with their future. The one point that you made, how it also provides them with different social skills. I never really thought about the impact that, you know, working with like biology and chemistry, you know, I mean, in the future, even though you might end up being like a lawyer, if you enter that environment, you'll already know how to, well, you know, see, work with those people and recognize some of those terms.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, if you think about this, I take it from a broader perspective, really. If you think about to solve problems, right, to make society a better place, as we all know, we have a lot of challenges on our plate, domestically, internationally, you name it. You know, we need individuals, we need future leaders who understand the complexity and be also able to find solutions. And to find solutions, you have to understand a problem or problems from multiple angles. the general studies program allows you to do that, again, because you have the opportunity to sample different classes. You get different skills from each class, critical thinking skills again, but from each from a different perspective, right? And that really helps you to look at a problem and say, hey, this is much more complex, right? Let's look at the social impact. Let's look at the economic impact, right? And all those things basically you have to consider. So, and that brings us also to another really important point. So there's this big picture of your, if you were right, that you can address with this kind of background. But then if you think about your future career, your professional career, right? And you think about what employers are looking for. They're looking for a 360-degree person, right? A person who is able, again, to use multiple skills to look at a complex problem and to find a solution, right? And that means not just the critical thinking skills, that means also good with communication. Communication is key. This also means written communication, things like that, right? But as you think about this and you hone your skills within the context of the general studies program, you also then start thinking about what can I do as an individual to make things better in society, within your community, and use those skills, apply those skills to do so. So the general studies program, the way I see it, and Elaine, please jump in again, is also a way to enhance your capacities as a responsible and responsive citizens. So there's always this broader picture that I see as well as you think about education in general, and here in this case, general studies in particular, right? To raise this awareness, to make sure that you realize your intellectual capabilities, that you realize that you also have moral responsibilities, and that you should be guided by certain ethics as well. More important than ever in this society, right? And I believe all of those things general studies provides.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it provides a framework, gives the student the opportunity to pick things that interest them from that framework, and then ends up with a great product that can then hopefully, you know, transfer on to where the student will hone in on what they choose to do.
Yeah, that was some great points that y'all were making. This definitely goes into the importance of the program itself. How many students do you have in this program? Because in my opinion, as a student, I feel like maybe general studies is kind of like underwhelmed by just like not having that decision. And I really like your point how you're trying to make it seem like that it's making you like a jack of all trades instead of a one trick pony, being able to go to all these different electives and build yourself as a person.
Yeah, it really, I would say, also really makes you to see the world from a more comprehensive picture, if that makes sense. More comprehensively, right? Absolutely. But to answer your question, Elaine and I were looking at the numbers here. So if you're looking at the declared majors since 2015, there you go, general studies is actually the strongest program on campus. And it has been, as far as I know, been that for a long, long time, right? So since 2015, we had 4,993 general studies students declared as majors, right? So if I give you the rundown here, so I have the remaining top four majors here too. The next one in line would be nursing prep, business administration, psychology, and nursing would follow. And if you want to have number six too, biology would be number six. The point is, it's the strongest program by far.
Yeah, and if you think about it, students are being encouraged as early as high school to really have a pathway and a decision made. And my experience is, of course, working in a community college, you happen to encounter students more frequently that are undecided. But typically, traditional student coming out of high school, there is a large proportion of students that are undecided. And I will say that I have heard that many students have been discouraged by parents or by others that general studies is not the way to go. You know, in the old days, general studies was kind of a nothing degree. And I think that the landscape has really changed, and the fine-tuning of it and the uses of it and the ability to get a two-year degree in all of your general education requirements met at a lower tuition rate really makes it a lot more of a savvy, you know, financial decision. In fact, my own son is doing general studies. With a concentration in business. So he's preparing, but I think that it's great to that we offer this opportunity to students.
Yeah. And here you heard another example, but as far as the concentration, right? Business, mm-hmm. it's another possibility. History, mm-hmm. of course, might be another one. So any of the other majors, basically, right? Mm-hmm. You can have
any 12 credits in a
concentration.
In, yeah. Mm-hmm. In one discipline or two related.
Yep.
Thank you for answering my question. Thank you for the numbers. I know for me, especially coming out of high school, it's definitely a confusing time. Like, I'm 20. I'm not that old, but, like, I just experienced that, like, just a couple years ago. And I don't know, for us being young, I feel like we have so many options to do whatever. I think mm-hmm. that's just what's being pushed at us, you know? And for that program to be available to us is definitely a stepping stone that we can most definitely take advantage of. But my question to you was, you were saying a lot of parents like to discourage that a little bit. So how are y'all trying to change that stigma and really make it being shed in like a positive light? Because I know you said that it's never really changed. So, I mean, what's changed on the other side for y'all to eliminate that?
Well, first of all, when students come to Harford, they have to declare a major if they want to get financial aid, if they want to use financial aid. So sometimes they are undecided and they have to put something down. And often then when we sit down in first semester advising with students, most of us are certified in career services and career development facilitation. So that career discernment process begins in that first meeting. So often through those questions and trying to help students understand where their interests lie, let them know that they're not alone for not knowing, and then kind of explaining it similar to the way that Dr. Wohlers was explaining, that it provides an opportunity for you to explore, customize your degree, and take different courses with the intention of planning for transfer from the very get-go. We start to talk about that right away, too, because you can use that general studies degree to prepare for your next steps, and we can work together with students to kind of look at what they would need and make sure they can get it here. So, you know, we do sit down with them right away. If they are undecided, you know, in terms of the parents, I often will, the first thing that I'll suggest and help them kind of feel a little bit more at ease. Again, it is one of our largest majors, that it's not what it used to be, and that we offer a 3-credit course in student development called Career and Life Planning. It is they get 3 credits that go towards the electives. In most cases, it transfers with the student, and it gives the opportunity for students to do some self-exploration into their values, interests, and beliefs about what they want to do for themselves and what they want from the world of work. So often students or parents will appreciate that, and in many ways it could confirm what they were already leaning towards, but it also gives them the opportunity to do actual research in a specific occupation. So they have a better idea of what the outlook is for that occupation. It gives them an idea of what the wages might be. It gives you an idea of what technologies are going to be needed and what other, you know, qualifications, what certifications, those kinds of things. And in some cases, it could very well point out for a student that they don't want to go forward for a 4-year degree, that they might want to take their general studies associates and then go into a trade. So it can really provide a lot of different pathways. And I think once parents understand that the guidance is there for students, as well as non-traditional students. We can help them all along the way with the courses that they choose, to not just check off a box to get to 60 credits, but to also make something meaningful out of their choices. And so I think often when we bring up the whole career discernment piece and the student development career and life planning piece, parents usually jump on board. And when you tie in the financial component, the fact that they are getting the same college credits for the general education, English, math, science, that they're going to have to take unless they go into a very specialized degree. Everybody has to take English composition. Everybody has to take a math. So sometimes when you throw in that economic standpoint of this is a very economical way to go, that also helps parents feel a little bit more at ease with the decision.
Now, the versatility in the courses and, of course, being able to be a better person for society, I mean, those are like the intangibles. Now, if I'm a parent and I want my kid to join this program, like what are the core learning goals? Like when I get this degree, what am I coming out with more than just a better attitude about society?
Like Dr. Wohlers was saying, the opportunity for students to develop an appreciation of lifelong learning. Looking at all the different opportunities for learning and working in a diverse, multicultural, and global society, which is what we want. This is for personal and professional development. A lot of times, the outcome is to fine-tune the direction, both career and academic pathways, whether, again, that is going towards a vocation of a trade, which our country needs as much as anything. It could then again help the student discover their true purpose and help them. I mean, that's what life satisfaction and contentment is all about too, is doing something that you love. So that is an important piece of it. But as Dr. Wohlers was saying, you know, it gives the students the outcome of being able to demonstrate the ability to analyze issues and problems from a multidisciplinary perspective, becoming appreciative of the arts and humanities and science and math, all of these things promoting critical thinking and problem solving. I'll often have students say to me, geez, why do I have to take an arts and humanities class? How's this going to help me? And then they come back after they've taken, say, art history, and they've developed a whole new appreciation for things that they never paid attention to before. And now they can actually have a conversation about Monet or about other, you know, artists that they've learned about. And they don't realize how that impacts. It may not be your long-term career goal to be an art historian, but it does make you a fuller person in terms of being educated in the liberal arts. And so often I've had those conversations with students when they feel like they have to take a course in a section that they really don't like, and they end up coming out of that with a different attitude and a different perspective.
Elaine, you said it beautifully. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more what you just said. You know, you mentioned the liberal arts education, you know, which is so important. It really is. And sometimes it's really hard to translate the skills directly into dollars. You know, how can I say this? These skills that you get will increase the likelihood very much so that you are going to be successful in life as you continue on with your academic career and as you move on into your professional life. Again, it's going back to those skills. I'm looking at the specific goals the general studies programs pursues, and I'll give you just one here. It says apply the scientific method. So now you might wonder, heck, what is the scientific method? So the scientific method is actually something very simple. The scientific method basically says, you know, that you're trying to answer a question for one. You're trying to answer a question, and you go out and you might collect some data, right, to see if you can answer the question and the thesis or hypothesis that comes along with it, right? This is how we, as human society, have been solving issues for centuries now, since the Renaissance, really. I'm going really back here, right? But the point is, it's a skill. It's a skill that you can apply that allows you, okay, here's a problem, I can identify it. Here's some data I can look at. Here are some patterns I see in relationship to the question I'm trying to answer. And once you find out the patterns, you start thinking about explanations or causes. Let's put it that way, right? And that then will help you to devise solutions to the problem you're trying to fix. This is a very tangible skill that employers are looking for. Any employers, doesn't matter what field, be it the private sector or be it the public sector. But there's a method to it, a method that you can learn and that you can then apply and will be valued a great deal by future employers. And that will translate into more income, if you want to think about this. It will translate into a better career. And we all know, statistics very clearly show this, right? As you get higher and higher degrees, your average income over your lifespan will go up. Now, guess what? It also goes up because of the skills you have learned from the degrees you pursued in undergrad, graduate studies, and so forth, right? So there's a direct relationship between the program here and your success later on. If you want to success, or if you want to measure success by money, yes, you will see that. If you also want to measure success by what you can contribute to society, there's a measure for this too, and you will see it too. And hopefully, you see both of them.
Yeah, most definitely. I know you were saying that it's both things. It's not just contributing to society. It's the skill set that we get from it. And I know that somebody who has both of those things can definitely take what, not just what they take from undergrad, and be even more successful than somebody who might have just kind of pushed off general studies. I know what I want to do. I can just push them further in their career. So you see a direct correlation between a person's skill set and their marketability.
No question about it.
Even our more technical degrees, say physics or chemistry, have general education requirements. Mm-hmm. So they are going to be exposed or experience some of the other disciplines as a liberal arts education, even in a STEM field or major.
Could you go a little bit more in depth into like the core studies?
Sure. So general education requirements are set by the Maryland Higher Education Commission. And they have the Code of Maryland Regulations, otherwise known as COMAR. So we in advising will often use the term COMAR regs, and anytime there's a curriculum change or anytime there's curriculum review at the college, these regulations are a part of that conversation. And, it sets the minimum requirements for the in-state degree-granting institutions. Any public institution that has the autonomy to design their general education program to meet their unique needs and the mission of their particular school. But they also have to conform to the definitions and common standards and incorporate general education knowledge and skills that has been required and set by the Middle States Commission of Higher Education Standards, which, we're actually working on now. That has to be updated and reviewed periodically. So Hartford Community College offers a couple of different types of associate's degrees: Associate of Arts, Associate of Science, and Associate of Arts of Teaching. They actually all have 60 credit totals. But of those 60 credits, 28 to 36 must fulfill the college's general education core requirements. We also offer Associate of Applied Science degrees, which are more geared to go into the workforce. And those students, again, still have to reach 60 credits of college level work to get their degree. But of those 60 credits, a minimum of 18 must fulfill the college's general education core requirements. So, for example, we offer two different types of degrees for someone who wants to go into the field of criminal justice. One is an Associate of Applied Science and one is an Associate of Arts. The Associate of Arts is geared for those who want to go to a four-year school and get a bachelor's degree in criminal justice. For those who are interested in going right out into the workforce, they don't see themselves getting a bachelor's, but they perhaps want to either look for more income or opportunity of someone in law enforcement, for example, with that degree, they might want to go with the Associate of Applied Science. Instead of taking two sciences, you only have one. And for each degree program, it's a little bit different. But in general, according to those COMAR regs and the code, students have to complete two courses in the arts and humanities. They have to have two sciences, one with a lab and one without, or it can be two lab sciences. So a lab science is 4 credits, and the general science is 3 credits. English composition, college-level math, and then there's also electives that they can choose from in those categories. We also have interdisciplinary issues and emerging issues. Those would be classes that would fall under that category would be something like contemporary health issues, intro to business, other courses that have that designation. So a combination of all of those numbers have to get to that requirement for students to have all of their general education requirements met. And if they, like I said earlier, if they meet them here and they have the right number, that number of credits can transfer with them as a package. If they're going to another Maryland school, 4-year school, they shouldn't have to take any additional general education or graduation requirements. They should be able to move on to their specialized degree program. So they would be taking junior and senior level courses in their discipline. So again, it's the behavioral social science. I think I might have left that one off. There's 6 credits or 2 classes in behavioral social science, arts and humanities, the science, 8 credits with the science, or 7 credits with the science, 3 for the general and 4 for the lab. English is 3, math can be 3 or more, and then the general education electives to get a total of 28 to 36.
I know you mentioned trades earlier as well. I know, for example, a criminal justice major, there's like 2 different routes for them. Somebody who wants to really immediately jump into the workforce. I know that trades can be a little bit more local. Like, I expect that once I get my degree, y'all want me to get my own job and apply wherever. But I know that some of the trades work with the college as well and some of their non-credit programs. So will your program go as far to help me get a job in that as well?
Well, yeah. Actually, we have career services. As a student who alumni and community members have access to our College Central network, and they can access this either through our website or through ALNet. And there is everything from they can help you build your resume. Actually, employers will come to the College Central Network looking for graduates or students who are looking for jobs in particular fields. And we help to, that College Central Network helps to match students to the employers. And students can apply online. We also work, well, when the campus is open, we have employers that actually come to campus recruiting students for different types of businesses, and they can apply right there on the spot. So yes, we do have career services that can help students, also career navigators, specifically to specific majors and fields too.
And can I choose any electives from any field at ACC?
Well, as long as you have met those categories, but then you within the 19 credits of general electives that you choose from, they can be from any subject area that you're interested in, as long as you're using them to meet that 12 credit discipline concentration.
And isn't there a diversity class requirement?
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, the diversity requirement, as well as physical education, everyone's favorite. But the diversity requirement, in order to be eligible to get your associate's degree, all students have to have 1 3-credit diversity course. And a lot of times, especially in the behavioral and social sciences, that diversity course is built in to one of the requirements of the major. For example, psychology, sociology, intro to sociology is a diversity course. And for many of those classes in that division, it's an automatic. But there are some majors such as business administration, advisors want to help students make sure that one of their electives, one of their courses has a diversity requirement. Same thing for general studies. Again, if you have to take 2 classes in the arts and humanities, there's a very good chance that the class that you select is going to fulfill that diversity requirement, but it's always something to keep an eye on. And we have, students have access to DegreeWorks, which is a online tool that can, it's like an audit or a tracking system that can help students know what they've taken, what they need to take, keeping them on track to completion. And diversity would be one of the boxes that needs to be checked off, as well as the physical education requirement.
And Elaine, if I may ask a question, how would you explain to a student what diversity means in a class?
So we were talking about this before the interview. Diversity courses, of course, are denoted with a D as an attribute, but it's a course that is designed to enable students to explore in depth the cultural differences based on age, ethnicity, gender, race, religion, sexual orientation, or social class. So these classes would, like I said, be under one of the other categories. All of these classes can range from United States history is a diversity. Some of the music appreciation courses like world music, popular music of the United States. These are all considered diversity courses. Anything that explores as part of the curriculum those areas that we want to make sure that students have access to learn more about. Something outside of their own culture, their own experience. And that is part of the liberal arts degree as well.
And that brings up a really good point, if you think about this, and that is it really is a way to broaden your horizon, the way you think about the world, about all the different aspects of society, those different cultures, right? If you just think about the United States and you think about what makes the United States so unique compared to many other countries, let's take Japan, for instance. A society that has so many different cultures within. And these courses, they draw attention not just to the diversity, let's say, of these different cultures, but also help you to better appreciate these differences as well, which is equally important. Not just learning, but also appreciating these differences, right, in society. And it can go in so many different ways, you know, these differences in music, because, right, you have different influences there, right? If you think about society, different ethnic groups, their value systems, and how that makes up the United States as a country, right? And then you can bring it down to the state level, and then even further down to the county, like Harford County, which in itself is pretty diverse too. Not as diverse as other counties, right? As we know, and it helps you to really get this view about, you know, to better understand these different aspects that make up society, these different influences, and gain that appreciation.
Some of the classes are specific to certain societal institutions, mm-hmm. like marriage and the family, mm-hmm. Or race, class, and gender. I mean, they're going to probably be a little bit more, you would expect those courses to have a diversity component. So some of them are more fine-tuned, but looking at whole institutions in our country, whether it be music or in the cultural impact and the historical impact, or like we just said, you know, or marriage and the family, or mm-hmm. sociology, geography, learning about, you know, different cultural geography, anthropology, all of these things that kind of broaden the perspective of the student and give them an opportunity to learn about other cultures and other, environments that people have lived in, broadening your worldview.
Yeah, I can definitely see how those are a part of expanding your horizons, just being able to learn about different cultures and grow an appreciation for them. I know this is a local college and we are really diverse, but that also directly correlates to when I go to a university. You know, like I'm not going to be in the same environment and meet the same type of people as here, home, when I go to like the University of Florida or something like that. What kind of other schools do you work with for transfers? Are they just local or is it
we
broader
work
than
with,
that?
Yeah, our transfer services, we're most familiar and have the most direct transfer information for in-state schools. But we work with students no matter where their transfer destination is, and we pull up the school's program and make sure that, see what the program entails and how we can help them. Now, we can't guarantee from our perspective in our seat that the course is going to transfer that way to Florida, for example. But we always encourage students to meet directly with them, share a transcript. Many schools now have a direct transfer course equivalency that's very helpful. But basically, English is English. In most cases, if you take English composition here, it's going to mean the same thing at another, you know, in another school in another state. There are some specialty courses that might transfer as electives. You know, you may have to take their own version of that particular course. We try to help students make it seamless, but really it's because you're putting so many different pieces into place, there sometimes could be some things that you have to repeat. But our goal is to make that as seamless as possible.
Yeah, it can definitely be a confusing time, especially being stuck in between like two different schools. I know that like I have my advisor to help me through that, but I know I can still make some mistakes. What are some of the other pitfalls that people go through while entering this program?
With general studies and transfer?
Yes, in terms of...
Always see your advisor. I mean, that's, of course I'm going to say that, but transfer planning is important from an early point. So it's never too early. Even if you're just kind of considering different schools, students change their mind all the time, not just about their major, but about where they want to transfer. So probably one of the most important pitfalls is not to take too many credits, because transfer schools only take a certain number of credits in transfer towards the bachelor's. So students will change majors and decide, okay, I want to go to a school for this degree. Even after I change my associates halfway through, I've got 75 credits. They're only going to take the 70, or depending on the school and their policy, up to 64 credits. Okay, so for example, Towson University. Now, a lot of that has changed with COVID, so I don't go off the top of my head anymore. I've noticed a lot of schools have changed that. They'll take students as transfer students after they've completed 24 credits, and they'll take up to 70 credits. University of Maryland Global Campus takes 70-some credits. So it really is something that we have to keep on our toes with and do our research. And we work together, and I show students how to research it and where to look, what to be aware of as they're making their plans, so that they can make the best informed decisions about what they're going to take here. So that's probably a big pitfall is taking too many credits. You want to consider the financial aid implications if you've taken too many credits or if you switch majors. You know, that's important. But I think it's most important that you work closely with your assigned advisor to kind of keep in tune with what you've done, what you may have changed your mind about, and where you want to go next, because that's what we're here for. We advise, but you decide. We make, you know, suggestions based on the facts and what the program requires, but it's ultimately up to the student to make the decision about what they decide to take.
So early at best, but it's never too late.
Right.
So in terms of the transfer and even the general studies program, where can I go to find some more information about it?
Well, we have our academic catalog, probably underused. But believe me, as advisors, we're always referring students to the college catalog. It has the general studies degree program. Our admissions department has a lot of information. They can help recruit students in the degree, your advisor. Generally, everything in terms of the structure of the program, that is offered in our catalog. And then getting more in-depth information from your advisor, from, you know, even faculty are an excellent resource as well.
Well, Elaine and Tony, I appreciate you guys in coming. It was a pleasure talking to both of you.
It was. It was great.
Thank you so much.
That's all for today. In case you missed the contact information, here it is again. Information about the General Studies program can be found on the HCC website, the course catalog, and by emailing admissions@harford.edu. Special thanks go to Mohammed Bangora for conducting the interview and for our theme music, and to our editors, Zachary Cloyd and Selah Yost. There's an extended version of this interview on our podcast, HCC 360. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Vaya Skinner, and HCC 360 will be back next month with another deep dive into amazing opportunities at Harford Community College. Thanks for listening.